Welcome back to the Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader. Tonight, we're talking with paranormal investigator and motivational speaker Dustin Perry, known from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, and Destination Truth. In hour one, we talked about reframing hauntings, encounters with troubled spirits, and Dustin's experience investigating some truly fascinating cases. But now we're turning to a topic that many people in the paranormal community quietly acknowledge, yet rarely discuss openly. The connection between paranormal exploration and the personal challenges many investigators and experiencers face. Does the paranormal draw people who are searching for meaning during difficult times in life? Or can investigating the unknown begin to affect the people doing the investigating? It's a thoughtful conversation and an important one. Let's explore it now with Dustin Perry on the Paranormal 360. Let's jump back in here and talk about this mirror effect of the paranormal. When this relaunched in about 2004, 2005, really started to catapult itself into the extreme, I often tell people I think it had a direct impact, the attacks on 9/11 in 2001, to pushing people outside of their norm, seeking answers for help, seeking answers to understand why things are happening and what comes next. Because as a country, we were rocked, and it had been a long time before that it happened again. And then the rest of the world also folded in on this because they realized that if we were vulnerable, what does that mean for them? And you saw the paranormal explode around the world. And it was like that before in the spiritualist movements and time. But again, if you look at each one of those moments in time, they seem to surround massive loss and death and mourning and people seeking answers. I see, and you know many of the people in this field that deal with depression and anxiety, confusion. Are we drawn to this field because of that? Or do we become more of that because we're steeped in a field dealing with death and spirits that seem lost, confused, and forgotten?
Yeah, I think there's probably people on both sides of that equation. You know, I mean, we look back, like you said, with the spiritualist movement, there's really just a big push after the Civil War. People were just lost. So they wanted to know, where did our loved ones go? What else is for them after this? What's else for us after this? And then your correlation to 9/11, the same thing, an attack on the homeland here in the USA. That was unheard of at the time. And where do we go from there? How do we process it? Anytime I think we suffer that personal loss, we start looking for those answers, right? We start wondering, you know, where did grandma go? What happens now that auntie passed away? It's troubling. And so we're looking for some peace. We're looking for some understanding. We're looking for some hope. And it's such a powerful thing to have that type of hope. But there is others who I think that, you know, just naturally were inclined to be interested in this part of the field. And as they get involved with it, yeah, there is sometimes that darkness that creeps in with it. You know, we spend a lot of times alone. We spend a lot of times in dark places, things that aren't normal for humans to be doing and talking about and living very dark concepts. So there has to be a way for us to be able to do it and keep that balance. And it's not an easy thing for everybody to do, but you need to be in a good place emotionally and physically and mentally and spiritually if you're going to do any type of investigation. If you're going to go out there and research spirituality, you want to make sure that you're well taken care of. You know, like have your own life jacket on before you go jumping in to save others. And it's not the easiest thing to do for sure. I know people always tell me, oh, Dustin, it's easier said than done. Well, yeah, pretty much everything's easier said than done, but it doesn't mean it's not worth doing just because it's difficult. And for me, the pursuit and the interest in this field has been just core to who I am since I was a kid. You know, I saw a shadow figure when I was 9 or 10 and I was interested. And then once I had access to buildings, I started going. The show was a blessing. I got to travel the world. But yeah, some of those times you get, you know, that feeling after a tough case, the stories seep in, the feeling of loss, it affects you as the investigator. So it's important for us to be able to scrub ourselves up, clean ourselves up, get emotionally back to where we need to be before you go back to a place, because it can continue to just pile on darkness on top of darkness, and it does nothing to help who you are or anybody else at that point.
In this 20-year journey I've taken as a paranormal radio show host, I've also done quite a bit in the true crime realm. I found for my own sanity, I had to step away from doing true crime programming because everybody became a suspect to me, right? In the sense that I began questioning everything everybody said around me. People I just meet and people I'd been with for years as friends and relatives and so on. And I started to realize the impact and effect, and depression was coming fast and furious while dealing with the paranormal and true crime. So I stepped away from true crime because I felt, at least with the paranormal, there was an element of positivity, that there is something that exists beyond this fleshy form. And in my case, extra fleshy form, right? The true crime brought to mind how terrifying the world can really be. And, you know, I think that's why movies like zombie movies are so impactful, because at any moment, people you loved and knew, your neighbors, your friends, your family, can turn. And I think that's part of why people are so fascinated by true crime, is because, well, Dustin and Dave had a friendship that went beyond years until it ended, right? And then it's always like, oh no, what happened to Dustin and Dave, right? And then there's some horrific thing that took place. And then you realize, oh, Dave did that to Dustin, and he'd actually been that guy all along. And Dustin couldn't see that, or he excused that. And that terrified me, the concept. And I just had to back off. I also, my kids love swimming, and I'd take them down to the local lake and let them go swimming. And I would sit there literally, my skin crawling, thinking, oh, how many bodies are in this lake?
Right.
Right. And I just couldn't enjoy things. The paranormal doesn't have that same impact and effect on me, but it certainly can when we're in it too much, because we are, again, dealing with a lot of tragedy. And that's why these spirits are there, or remind us of where they came from.
Yeah, for sure. First, I just want to say, I appreciate being the victim and not the monster in our relationship.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's obvious. Yeah. If people follow us, they know which one of us is going to kill the other. It's just the way it is.
But, you know, the old adage, you are what you eat, right? That's, you know, truer than true when it comes to nutrition. But also, you are what you take in. You know, so social media, the things your eyes see, the things your ears hear, you know, you can get yourself in a better mood by listening to more positive music. If you're feeling kind of down and you want to continue to feel down, you listen to sad and depressing music. And sometimes that's also comforting, and I get that. But when we watch a lot of negativity, you know, like as your social media feed, your algorithms, you linger for too long on a negative story. Now that's all you get is negative stories, because the computer thinks, oh, well, this is what, you know, the person wants to see. We're going to keep showing more of it. And you need to actually go in there and put in something like, you know, stupid happy cat videos. And then you watch those for a little while, and now the algorithm changes, and that's what it's going to show you. On the same way, your brain is that supercomputer. Your brain is your iPhone, and you have to change your own algorithm. You have to look at different things. So if you're just watching negative shows all the time, you're watching, you know, paranormal shows that linger on the dark all the time, or you're reading books about these horrific tales, well, that becomes your mindset. That becomes your emotional state. And so you have to make sure you kind of scrub that off and enjoy things. Find some guy. I spend a lot of time watching professional wrestling, and yes, I do know it is fake, as they say.
What?
I don't like that word. I personally think it's scripted. You know, it's scripted, but still a hell of a lot of what's the word? Athleticism that's in there. I can't even say it. Never mind do it. But like, that brings me joy. That is fun for me to watch. And so that brings me back up. So you got to be careful with what you take in visually and what you listen to, podcasts and things, because it will alter your state.
And we'll continue to do our very best to rise you up and hold you up, my friends. So keep listening. Dustin Perry has more insights we'll share right here on Paranormal 360. You know what's missing from a lot of vacations these days? Actual people. Friendly ones. If you're ready for a getaway where the coffee's hot, the smiles are real, and nobody's in a rush to push you out the door, then it's time to discover Sauk Center, Minnesota. This is small town charm done right. Great cafes, cozy pubs, welcoming hotels, unique shops, delicious restaurants, and even a historic movie theater where you can catch a film the way it used to be. Spend the day exploring the town, meet some of the friendliest folks you'll ever encounter, and if you're feeling adventurous, stick around for some of Sauk Center's legendary mysteries. Because yes, we've got history. And yes, we've got a few ghosts. Start planning your trip today at visitsaukcenter.org. That's visitsaukcenter.org. And we're very fancy here. We spell center C-E-N-T-R-E. So check out visit Sauk, S-A-U-K, center, C-E-N-T-R-E.org. You'll be thankful you did. And I'm thankful that my good friend Dustin Perry is here. And even though he was stranded by the blizzard of 2026, might be a little heavy on that leaning, but he is here for another few days to hang out with us. He has agreed to do the show with me live from the Palmer House, as travel is not advised right now, even for me, to drive down to the cities to work out at WCCO radio show. We're having an interesting talk in this segment, in this hour, talking about what we bring to a paranormal investigation, what we expect from paranormal investigations, and how does it affect and impact us, the living. And I wonder if some of the spirits that we do encounter end up burdened by the fears that we bring into a location. Everybody thinks they're ready to have a paranormal experience until they have that moment. Everybody thinks they're ready to deal with something until they see it or experience it. And sometimes that makes you feel very small. It makes you realize what a very small droplet you are in a large ocean of weirdness, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that some of these ghosts that seem to get more agitated, angry, irritable through time, is it really because they're tired of the same questions, or it's because of all of the energy and negativity and fear that we, the investigators, might bring in with us?
Yeah, I mean, we're going Star Wars here, Dave, right?
Yes.
We're going Star Wars. When we tell Luke, you know, the only thing that's in that cave is what you bring in there with it. And that kind of is a lot of what we do. And I think that, you know, there's so many cases I've been a part of, so many events I've been a part of. And I try to tell people, don't bring the gloom and doom in here. Don't bring it in. There's nothing in the dark that wasn't there before we shut the lights off, except what you're bringing in with you. So there's reason for us to go and investigate. Yes. Do we want to try to contact spirit? That's great. But if you go in and you think everything here is negative, everything here is going to be horrible, well, then yeah, you're baiting your hook for that experience, and you're probably going to get what you bait your hook for. So I try to encourage people to go in a positive mindset. Look for something good to come out of this. Look for something that is going to, you know, shape your hope and your belief going forward, instead of lingering in all the gloom and doom activity that you may have heard about before. Have your own experience at these places. And so many times it really is what you bring in with you and the people that you're with you. You know, even your day-to-day life, there's people that are around you that are negative, and like they just suck away at your soul. And you're like, God dang it, I can't take it. You have to push those people away sometimes. That's not an easy conversation to have. But when you're out there and you're doing paranormal work, it's the same thing. It's your baggage that you're bringing in there. And you can choose to look at the light, or you can choose to look at the dark. It's up to you. It's your perspective.
Well, our good buddy Jeff Belanger and I have laughed for years about the fact that when we die and we haunt, and we are going to haunt, we will be the ghosts that are waiting for the people that are terrified and worried they're going to have the most frightening experience, because we want those people to get exactly what they paid for. Now, does it mean we're demons? No, we're just jerks, right? So there's kind of, you know, you have to give it to the ghosts too, that sometimes they understand why you're there, and why not give you a little scare? I've had people at events over the last 20 years, and you've been there with me, where they are having the most wondrous, amazing moment that transcends the regular, right? The normal. And then 10 minutes later, the next group comes in, same room, same ghost, and they feel that they are being attacked and that something is trying to attach itself to them. And they walk in this place of fear and they have this resonance. So I'm curious, do you think that our negativity going in with that fear, that intention, we're drawing the more negative element to us? Or is it exposing what negative elements might already be with us, and we're just shutting up long enough to give them a moment to speak?
My experience has kind of led me to believe that everything is just energy, frequency, and vibration, right? Everything that it's out there has some type of frequency that it resonates at. You put sand on the top of a skin of a drum and you play certain levels of frequency, you're going to get geometric patterns that are going to stay consistent every time. And we, as people, vibrate at different frequencies. Some people are, you know, lower, kind of negative. Other people are kind of higher, more positive. And you're going to attract what you're putting out there. So we can use the same room and bring in a bunch of people that are super happy, super focused, having the time of their life. And they're probably going to continue to attract that energy and have a great time. You know, and trust me, back in the day when I started this, I was not into this hippy dippy, let's go hug a tree energy stuff. It was not me at all. And it drives me crazy to I've switched so much, but at the same point, I can't deny my experiences. And if you go in there negative and you go in there with this low frequency, you'll probably attract that type of energy. And that's what you're looking for. You have to really change who you are. You know, we think about like when you watch a TV, right? You watch your TV at home and the TV show is on, but it's not like it's in your TV. Your TV is just the receiver for that frequency. Your brain is like that TV set. You are adjusting the frequency that you're receiving to make your reality. So if you go in and you're thinking, I want to watch something really negative, I want something really bad to happen when I'm in here, that's the frequency that you're tuning into your brain, and that's what's going to come around you in your reality. And so not just paranormally speaking, but in day-to-day life. If you get up every day and you think, this is going to be the worst damn day, nothing's ever going to work today, this is going to be horrible, all day your brain is going to find some examples to show you that you're right. Yeah, it's Monday. This is horrible. Now you have to work late. Now you have to sit in traffic. And even those things may still exist. If you're on a positive mindset, if you're on a higher frequency, you're not going to look at those things as much. You're not going to attract those things as much. So same as going through your day-to-day life, same as going to investigation. You're going to get what you adjust your frequency for, what you tune your set for, what you bait your hook for. It's all there, and it's all up to you.
I wish I could remember who said it, but it's a beautiful theory that I love. It's if you start to change the way you look at things, the things you look at will begin to change.
Now, I've heard that before. I can't remember either, but it's absolutely true. And it's quite beautifully quoted that way.
Let's just say you said it.
Right, sure.
Dustin Perry. What a great quote you came up with there.
Thank you.
This does have an impact on us. These mysteries, we're clued into it. Again, we talked about true crime. People love to stretch their brains out of their comfort zone to look at things, see if they can maybe pick up on what you were missing. I think we do that a lot in the paranormal field as well. I think that also breeds a lot of contempt in the paranormal field because we're also willing to settle that, no, this is the way it is. I've tried to remain Bruce Lee in this where I'm fluid and I will move with the tide because I admit I don't know everything. And if something comes to me, people share a wisdom and an insight, it may give me a bigger perspective on these type of experiences. Did you find it hard to kind of break out of what your expectations and thoughts were when you began this field and where you stand today?
For sure. In the beginning, I was very rooted in, I want to document things. I want evidence. I want stuff that I can prove. And now I'm at a point where, yeah, you know what? I'm willing to just go with what's showing itself to me, and I'm adjusting as we go. And now I'm just allowing for life to show me what's really there. And I don't need to prove anything to anybody because I already know what is true, and it needs to be true for me. It doesn't need to be true for you.
We'll be back with more on the Paranormal 360. We're back. I'm Dave Schrader. My guest tonight, Dustin Perry. And if you are a fan of paranormal TV programming, you recognize this handsome, rugged man from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Nation, Destination Fear, and Dunkin' Donuts ads.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes. So see, look at the smile that burst. I mentioned three or four major life-affirming, changing TV shows, and you just sat there, and I mentioned Dunkin', and your face burst into a huge smile.
I love sugar.
Is that what it is?
It comes down to.
Is that why you reward yourself after every ghost investigation ahead to the local Dunkin', grab a donut, a cup of coffee?
Life is short. You need to reward yourself any little chance you get. Like you do something good, you know, you treat yourself like you would treat your dog. Like you get a treat. Good for you. You can get it yourself. Nobody has to get them for you. Go get a donut. Be happy.
Bring that spiritual donut into every aspect of your life, right? Find that which makes you happy. It's not always that simple. There's a lot that I will realize if I've been in a haunted location that has a heavy burden to it. The Lizzie Borden house is a good example. We've both been there.
Yeah.
There is so much saddled on the story. So many people that believe Lizzie murdered her family in cold blood. Others that will staunchly deny that and say, no, it wasn't her. It was the butcher, the butler, the candlestick maker, whatever, right? There's something else to the story. And there's this weird derision between them, which also adds to the kind of anxiety and frustration level of being at a place like this. And I've noticed that I take it home. People say, are you ever afraid you're bringing home an attachment? And by that, many of us assume there's a ghost hanging on our back. I often walk out saying I do have an attachment of sorts. It's to this negative atmosphere I've just steeped myself in for days. And it's that I'm trying to clear, not the ghosts. How does that stand with you?
That makes sense to me, the way you just explained it. It's the energy, if anything, that may cling to you. I always make a joke because of, once again, my wonderful travel history. I'm somewhere down in Galveston and I'm doing an investigation in an old hotel, notoriously haunted, and people are worried about a ghost following me back home. I'm like, that poor thing then has to sit there in my hotel room all night, wait for me to get up, check into my flight. It's delayed. Now we're going to go to the airport, hang out, maybe get a beer. Now we're going to change planes to DC. Oh, we're delayed again. We're going to sleep on the floor. The ghost is just standing there waiting. And then we finally get to fly back to Providence. Then he's going to wait for me to get the car. He hops in the truck and then we drive home. It doesn't sound like a great experience for them. They were probably happier where they were. But seriously, Dave, like, I think you're right. I think it's the energy, right? And it's interesting because I've done cases where I've had both things happen. Lepp Castle. When I was, it's still Ghost Hunters. This is kind of like the unofficial GHI pilot. We go out to Lepp Castle in Ireland, something in the Bloody Chapel, which is just a chapel, but for TV, we call it something else, right? So we're up there and something lifts me up and drops me to the ground. All my years of investigating, right? I started when I was 15, 48 now. So we've got like 33 years out doing this stuff. That's happened once. It never, ever happened again. It never happened before then. But whatever was in there responded to the way I was investigating and decided to kind of put me in my place. I don't think it was trying to hurt me, but at the time I was very headstrong. I was very much into provoking and I was just being rude. I was making fun of Ireland. Next thing I know, I'm flat on my back. And then I go back in the next night. It's quiet. Nothing else happens. I come back to the States and it's always lingered with me. I've always wondered, what did I anger? What was I rude to? I wish I had a chance to make this right. And I finally get a chance to go back there last year. And I went in, I did an investigation with everybody. It was pretty interesting, but nothing crazy. Nothing was attacking me this time. After everybody left to go down to the bus, I said, I need to go back up there. I just need a moment by myself. And I went up to that chapel up the top floor. But I got down on my knees in the center of the room. And I said, listen, I was a very different man last time I was here about 17, 18 years ago. I was very rude. I was condescending. And I didn't respect your space or whatever you may be. People talk about it being a dark elemental, a trickster spirit, different understandings of it. But whatever you are, I don't think I behaved properly. And I just want to thank you because you taught me a lesson. And I had quite a big change after this. And at that moment, as I'm kneeling there in the middle of the room, a crow flies in through the open window because there's no glass up there. And it just circles slowly around my head a couple of times. And then just flies back out the window. And that was, for me, a very symbolic moment. That was a very spiritual moment. Other people say, oh, it's just coincidence. It's this or that. All I know is a crow decided to come into a window somewhere around midnight and fly slowly around my head several times and then leave me as if nothing else happened. And I just felt this sense of peace and understanding. And so that darkness that was with me at the time all of a sudden was lifting. And I was like, you know what? It was so good to come back here and have that moment because I carried that with me for years, wondering what I had done wrong and how I could make it better.
The event you did this weekend at the Palmer House with Jody Dane, Reverend Jody Dane, she was with me when we were at Lepp Castle. She had a very negative moment there. Mm-hmm. Felt something was trying to bully her out and was very oppressive towards her. I'm about to show Dustin a photograph taken at Lepp Castle in broad daylight, and I'll post this up on my social media, and I'll give a copy to Dustin to post on his, so you could, if you're following me, Dave Schrader, or you're following Dustin, you'll be able to see it. But we took the picture in broad daylight, and when we showed it to the owner, Sean, he recognized it immediately as the Dark Monk. And there is something standing there in this dark shroud that is just amongst our group of people and nobody's noticing it. You could see the sunlight coming through the windows, through the holes in the roof. And there was just a presence there. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting, right? And if you go in with a certain cockiness, brashness, you might actually impact and affect what's in there. What do you make of a picture like that?
I mean, we've seen thousands of photos, Dave, you and I mean, you wouldn't have shown that photo if you didn't think it to be real either. I mean, that looks like a real deal, you know, and it's interesting. Nobody else is paying attention to it. Everybody else is doing something, but it's right there in the center of the chapel. That's actually the same area where I was kneeling down when the crow came in. And it's also adjacent to where I was when I got knocked down. The story of the Dark Monk, of the brothers that fought there, one killing the other, is again a very dark history. And I think there is a very powerful energy there, whatever it may be, whether it is an earth spirit, elemental trickster, or the spirit of a human who passed away. All I know is when I first went in there, I definitely angered it. And that was many, many years ago. And I've changed my tune. I've changed my tactics. I've grown as a man, as a human being, as an investigator. And I was just very thankful that when I went back there, I was able to kind of make my peace with it.
Got about a minute left in this segment. Do you, or have you ever noticed that when you've been in a more negative headspace and gone to an investigation, something more negative has happened to you? And I know you said you're big into prayer, so you do prayer to protect yourself and prayer to protect the surrounding areas and such. But
sure.
But if you still have, you just had a fight with the wife or a fight with a coworker, or, you know, stubbed your toe and you're kind of in a bad mood, does that ever impact the experience you end up having?
I think so. Because again, you're putting yourself in that negative mind space. You're changing your frequency. You're putting out a different vibration. And that's what you're going to attract towards you. No matter how much you try to fake it and push through it. If you're not there, you're not there. And so that's why I try to caution other investigators. If you're not in a good place, I don't care if you're signed up to go do this case you've always wanted to do. If you're not in a good place, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, take the night off. It's the right thing to do because you're not going to have the experience that you should have. You're not in the right place to do what you need to do.
When we come back, let's just ponder this during the break. What if the things we think are ghosts are not? Not at least in the conventional sense. Why do people have so many ghostly encounters at night? Why are they woken up to these things? What if, Dustin Perry, it is those that are sleeping in neighborhoods or villages far away or right next door? What if we're soul searching? What if we're out walkabout in the spiritual form, astral projection? Do you think there might be an element to why then some spirits seem just as surprised by us as we are of them? We'll talk about that next. It's always good to wrap up a show on a head scratcher. But the idea that so many people have paranormal experiences in the middle of the night in their home, astral projection is alleged to be a very real thing. Many of us have dreams where we're in places that are vaguely familiar to us, but we can't quite put our finger on what it is. Were we maybe out of body having a moment? And you, in that hypnagogic or hypnopompic state between awake and asleep, in that moment, you were able to see the shadow of a soul traversing through your home.
Those moments are very special. And I think the reason that we do see more during that time is also because it's kind of the only time that we're quiet anymore. You know, the days are busy. The world is noisy. The phone is nonstop. There's constant communication. So when do we ever get to sit quietly and actually be aware of our surroundings and whatever might be investigating us or checking us out or just passing through? And those moments, you know, coming in and out of sleep are some of the most precious ones. And they're very special too. Some people just write it off and say, oh, it's just a dream state. It's not real. It's not real. But, you know, in certain cultures, especially in a lot of Native American tribes, that was a very sacred time. It was a time for visitation, a time for loved ones to come back and see us and for us to be able to communicate with them. But yeah, you know, we talk about astral projection. We talk about the fact that are we able to, you know, access to the outside world, you know, leaving our bodies. I've known people that have said to do it. I've tried it. It's never worked for me. I've tried to picture the silver cord, you know, going from my umbilicus, you know, back out into the world so I could float above my body. Never seems to work well. But what I find is interesting, I have a series of dreams that take place in this alternate landscape that is not this reality, but yet is consistent from dream to dream. There's a casino down by the water. I know where to walk to go to the store. There's even people there that seem familiar that are only in the dream world that are not in this world. And so I do start to wonder, I'm like, how do we know that there isn't some thread of reality to that as well? How do we know that our energy isn't kind of permeating some other version of reality we just don't always have access to? There's a lot of stories, too, of investigators who've gone back to investigate a place they've investigated previously. And while we're there, they see an image of themselves from something they did the last time they were there, you know, or even a shadow version of themselves walking down the hall doing the same thing they did last time we were there. So is there bleed over? You know, is time stacked? You know, are the multiple realities a possibility for us? All these things, I think, are potentially, you know, real, but we just need to look into it a little bit further. And quite honestly, I don't always want to have the answers to things. I love knowing there could be something out there that we'll never figure out. I still believe in the Loch Ness Monster, even though she's probably the least likely of all the damn cryptids. I just like it. And I don't want to live in a world without magic and possibility. It has to be more than just paying bills, buying mozzarella sticks, and sitting in traffic trying to go to work.
Especially with hot, greasy mozzarella sticks, right?
Yes, sir.
I love that concept. I am of that mind as well, that I want to live in a world where there's still magic and wonder. And it doesn't mean that we're foolish or foolhardy. It means that we still want to embrace that element. I haven't said to people, I think people that are creative, and this is no slam, there are scientifically based and minded people who live in that space, and we, God knows we need them. But then there are people that are artistic and creative who have these profound experiences outside of their normal, and they accept them and embrace them. Does that mean that they're not real because they're artsy fartsy and they're too liberal? Or is it the fact that we haven't disengaged with that part of our imagination from childhood? You say imagination like it's a bad word in our field. I don't think it is. I think it means that you're still open to wondrous things taking place.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful point. You know, I really feel that, again, however you view things, I think that the divine, the creator, also put within us that need to create, that need to explore, that need to have more. You know, it can't just be this. And in those moments, I think there is pure magic. You know, to go back to Christmas again, there's magic in the idea of Santa Claus. There's beauty in the idea of Santa Claus. And Christmas wouldn't be Christmas quite without it for so many of us. And I think that as we go out, you know, as explorers of this world, as spirits going through this human experience, I feel like this place has never truly been home for us. I think that we're not from here. I don't think that we stay here. I think that while we are here, we're charged with looking after each other, loving each other, lifting each other up, laughing together, crying together, doing all those very human things to explore and to experience, but then to move on to the next chapter or maybe go back home, whatever that might be. But I feel that this place sometimes, for so many of us, feels like a stretch. It feels painful. I know a lot of us struggle with anxiety, with depression, and maybe a lot of that is because this isn't quite our home and we need a little bit more. And I think that's where the magic comes in. And like you said, imagination is not a bad world. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be able to still have it. And I think that in some way, I kind of feel bad for people that can't imagine such magic and beauty still being out there. I can't lay there at night outside and look at the stars and think, okay, yeah, I'm a human on Earth and I'm the center of all that there is. There is so much more out there. And I find it also very peaceful and reassuring to look up at the stars and feel small and let some of those pains of the day kind of fade away and realize, like, you know what? There's a bigger picture out there. And these are the things I'm worrying about. Although they may be important, it's not going to be the end of me and it's not the end of anything. No, I'm a spirit riding a skeleton-infused meat suit flying around space. And I'm worried about emails and text messages? Probably not. Probably not. I think there's more important things to care about.
We have a minute left together real quickly. You do so much great work in helping people. What message would you like to give the people that are struggling right now, having a hard time?
Just don't give up. Never give up. Little baby steps are still steps. That's still progress. If it's hard for you to get out into the world, just start by sitting on the front steps. Just start by going outside a little bit every day. You know, I do a lot of exercise because, again, I eat a lot of fried cheese. But it's important. It's important to exercise your body, to get out there into the world and sit under the sunlight. We're not meant to sit behind computers, behind screens all day. We need to get out and to live in this world and to get out every day just a little bit. Baby steps, my friends. But the last thing you can do is give up hope. So please hold on to hope no matter where you are. Believe in something bigger than what you are, no matter what that might be. Believe in more than this world.
Beautiful words, beautiful sentiment. And for all of you darklings across the world that tune into this show, we talk about the fun, the frightening, the strange, the unusual, but we also want to share the hope. And I know that there are many of you struggling out there. You're not alone. Just remember, guys like Dustin and Dave, who you might think have it all, the radio, TV personalities, families, everything, that still marks us. We're all very close, living a very similar life. So stay positive and stay with us. What tonight's conversation reminds us is that the paranormal isn't just about strange events or unexplained encounters. It's about perspective. For investigators like Dustin Perry, the goal has never simply been to just chase evidence or prove something exists. It's about understanding the experiences people have, approaching the unknown with curiosity instead of fear. The paranormal continues to raise questions we don't yet have answers for, but the way we explore those mysteries and the way we treat people involved in them may be just as important as whatever evidence we find. My thanks to Dustin Perry for joining us tonight and sharing his experiences and insight. And thank you for listening. I'm Dave Schrader, and this has been the Paranormal 360.